Good morning, East Cobb Church. It is so good to be with you. My name is Dane, if we haven't got the chance to meet yet. And like Jamie said, I get to serve in our student ministries here at East Cobb Church. And I thought I would start off our time this morning by bringing a little bit of student ministry into this room. So if you're not familiar, every Sunday, Transit Inside Out, we play a game. And I thought we could start our time here with a game. And so here's the name of the game. I'm gonna throw some pictures up on the screen, and when I throw the picture up, your job is to figure out which group of people this picture represents. And feel free to shout out your answer. So first up, we got this one. What group of people is this? Easy one. Falcons. Any Falcons fans in the room? Any Falcons people? Yes. This makes me think of the Falcons, obviously, but I also think of Kirktober, which apparently includes Kirk Vember now. I love Kirk Cousins. He's awesome. Here's another easy one. Which group of people? Yeah, any Georgia fans coming off a big win? Yeah. I'll save my personal opinion on Georgia for one-on-one conversations only, by the way. I'm not trying to make any enemies here. I'm not trying to get political. But I've got a different dog in the fight, and it's this one. Yeah, man, that was a good cheer. We usually don't get that. This does not represent nerds, by the way. This is an underappreciated program that needs to stop embarrassing me and breaking my heart, but we're coming off a pretty good win versus Miami. But the sports ones are a little too easy. Let's move on to some business world examples. What group of people does this represent? This one piece of clothing, the green apron. Starbucks. It's so easy. You can see that from a mile away. That is a Starbucks employee. They're wearing the green apron. What about this one? The red polo and the gray pants. I didn't even realize the gray pants until I saw this. I was like, no, they all do wear gray pants. Last one, this is an individual person, but it really kind of, for me, represents a whole company. What person does this outfit represent right here? Steve Jobs. I see this. I mean, a certain age group in the room is like, oh my gosh, yeah, we know that. The black turtleneck, the jeans, and the gray New Balances, for me, almost represent Apple as much as the Apple symbol itself. You could see that on a mannequin. You're like, that's a Steve Jobs mannequin. It's the simplicity and the minimalism. It just like represents that to all of us. And as we think about these outfits, these brands really, they're more than just an outfit, right? They're also sort of a reputation. There's certain experiences and emotions that come to mind when we see these outfits. We feel a certain way. We think about certain things. And so here's the question I want to pose. What identifies a Christian? What are the identifiers of a Christian? What's the brand of the Christian? What's the outfit, to keep using the metaphor, of the Christian? What do they look like out in the world? Not the literal clothes they wear or what they literally look like, but what do they live like, act like? What's the lifestyle of the Christian? Could you pick one out? Could you notice one in person? Could you notice one online? Are there certain quirks, habits, ways of speaking, identifiers that make us know that someone is a Christian? Could you pick out one for some good reasons? Could you pick out one for some bad reasons? Maybe there's people you know who you wouldn't even know they're a Christian unless they told you. But maybe there's other people you know who they're so loud about being a Christian that it ironically makes them seem like less of a Christian. So what identifies the Christian? What is the kingdom outfit? What does a Christian look like? How do we know if we're getting it right or wrong? That's what today is all about. What a person of the kingdom of heaven looks like, because we're in this series about the kingdom of heaven. And if you weren't with us last week, just to catch you up real quick, the number one thing that Jesus talked about in his time on earth, number one thing he taught was not love, forgiveness, money, relationships, social justice, heaven and hell. He talked consistently about all those things, but they weren't his headliner. Jesus' primary teaching on earth centered around the kingdom of heaven. He talked about it more than anything else. More than just going on and on about it. It was kind of like the source of everything that he taught. All these things that I just mentioned, like love and money, they actually were outworkings of the kingdom of heaven, and he taught it through that framework. But more than just going on and on about it, he brought it. Jesus claimed to have brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, to have ushered in its arrival as it started arriving on earth. And more than just bringing it, he invited us to participate in it, to participate, to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and maybe even be a part of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And last week, Jamie talked about how we can start to tangibly understand this intangible kingdom. Because it's not a physical place, right? It's more of a concept that glues all of Jesus' teaching together. It's a framework. And so we talked about four main things that the kingdom of heaven is. It's the realm of divine rule. It's the way of life. It's a community of grace. And it's a future hope. But as a whole, the kingdom of heaven is just the world the way we wish it was. All of us look around and we see cracks and brokenness in the world, things that discourage us, disturb us about the world, that make us feel outrage. The world is broken, but the kingdom of heaven is the world the way we wish it was. Where the kingdom of heaven is, there is no brokenness. And we talked about how we make Jesus the king of our lives. We start to experience more of the kingdom of heaven on earth, more of the way of the world the way we wish it was. As we participate in the kingdom and as we wait for one day the kingdom fully having arrived. And this is good news. This is how Jesus always talked about the kingdom. That this is good news because when the kingdom comes, there is more joy, there is more peace, there is more purpose, there's more life, there's more light where there used to be darkness. That is the best news there is. When the kingdom arrives, it's more of all the things we want and crave in this life. It's more of the world the way we wish it was. And one day we can eagerly expect, like Jesus talked about, for the kingdom to fully arrive and for us to look around and all we see is the kingdom of heaven. So that's what the kingdom of life, the kingdom of heaven life is all about. So we talked about last week, but this week I want to bring a problem, really. And to get to that problem, I want to ask kind of a related question. Have you ever misjudged a dress code? Have you ever showed up somewhere and thought, uh-oh, I wore the wrong thing. I'm overdressed or I'm underdressed. I honestly don't know what's worse, like wearing casual clothes to a formal occasion or wearing like a dress or a suit to a casual occasion. But I've been in situations where I've thought, uh-oh, and it is not a good feeling. Like one time, one of my best friends in the world invited me to his wedding and the dress code was garden formal. And I got stressed because I'm like, I don't have any garden clothes. Does anybody have any garden clothes? What are garden clothes? Do I dress like a Lord of the Rings character? What do I wear to this thing? And I didn't really know, but I wanted to get it right because I've had times in my life where I've stuck out like a sore thumb and I don't ever want to feel that way again. None of us likes to misjudge a dress code. But can I ask a second question? It's a little more serious. Have you ever personally experienced brand damage? Have you ever had like a moment where you realized that you had done some brand damage? More serious than just wearing the wrong outfit or saying something weird at the Christmas party. Have you ever just had a period of life or maybe a big moment where your reputation took a hit? You thought, I might actually need a rebrand. I think back to high school and I felt like I needed a rebrand every single month. But I also look back to an earlier season in my career. And I looked a year in the past and thought, man, Control-Alt-Delete. Like, I need a rebrand. I've maybe done some damage to my reputation. I need to think about how I'm coming across. The wrong outfit lasts a day, but brand damage kind of follows us for a little while. And here's kind of why I bring up these uncomfortable questions. For anybody in the room who's skeptical or would consider yourself not a Christian, have you ever met or experienced a Christian who didn't live it out? Have you ever met or experienced a Christian who they say they follow Jesus, but their life completely contradicts it? You probably thought, what a hypocrite. We've probably all experienced people like that. And it's kind of like getting the dress code wrong. But instead of wearing the wrong clothes, you wore the wrong lifestyle. Like, this person's supposed to be wearing love, but they wore hate. This person's supposed to be wearing acceptance, but they wore judgment. This person's supposed to be wearing forgiveness, but they wore a grudge. It's like, you're supposed to be wearing the Christian outfit, but you're wearing I'm a jerk khakis or the I'm judging you athleisure. So you're wearing the wrong outfit, and that's a dress code violation. That's probably what you thought, not in those words. But that's a dress code violation. And they did brand damage, not just to themselves, but now there are people around them who are walking around thinking, man, I don't want to be anything like those Christians. Like they say one thing and do another. So for the Christians in the room, that's kind of what's at stake here. When we think about the way we live out in the world, what's at stake is not just our own brand or reputation. we can actually impact the reputation of Christianity as a whole way too often. The outfit that the world would say Christians wear is far different than the outfit we're supposed to be wearing. With the result being that the message of Jesus that we fell in love with in the first place can get lost. And maybe instead of us representing the world the way we wish it was, we could sometimes represent the worst versions of the world. So, what do kingdom people look like? What are kingdom people supposed to look like? In this picture that we're studying of the kingdom of heaven in this series, what are its citizens like? What does a citizen of the kingdom of heaven look like? If last week we talked about what the kingdom of heaven is, this week I want to talk about what it means for us personally. Not just for the kingdom of heaven to arrive on earth, but what does it look like when the kingdom of heaven arrives in our lives? What's our version of the green apron, of the black turtleneck, of the school colors? What are the identifiers of the Christian? What are the kingdom clothes? What are the kingdom clothes when someone sees us, they're like, that's a kingdom person. That's what they're supposed to look like. Because when we get the kingdom clothes wrong, we not only are in danger of misrepresenting following Jesus like we just talked about a second ago, but also for all of us, no matter what we believe in this room, if we don't wear the kingdom clothes, we also miss out. We miss out on what Jesus called life and life to the full. What his earliest followers called the way, the one way of life that leads to the most joy, the most peace, the most purpose. Life that's better for us and the people around us. Life that brings the kingdom of heaven to earth as we live our lives. More of the world the way we wish it was. And if you're in the room and you're not sure what you believe or you're a skeptic, I would just hate for you to miss out on that. The real thing. Because of bad experiences you've had with Christians. And if that's how you feel and that's been your experience, I don't blame you at all. In fact, I've been in that exact seat before in my life. I get it, but I would just love to invite you today to see for yourself what it's supposed to look like. What the kingdom clothes actually look like. And so, what does it look like when the kingdom arrives in our lives? What's the outfit? What's the lifestyle? What are the identifiers of the Christian? What is it supposed to be? Luckily, we don't have to sit around and wonder. It's actually spelled out for us, straight out of the writing of the Apostle Paul. And Paul, we talk about a lot in here, because a lot of what he did is he would take the teachings of Jesus and just apply them super practically for not just churches, but for individual people, the most tangible ways. And the really cool thing is that Paul's story actually really mirrors what we're talking about today. His whole story kind of revolves around this huge conversion, this outfit change, where he realized he was getting it all wrong. He was living as a self-righteous religious leader who was persecuting Christians, all until he had an encounter with a Jewish rabbi named Jesus who was supposed to be dead, and everything changed for him. He changed his outfit, and he dedicated the rest of his life to not only being a kingdom person, but inspiring other people to become kingdom people, setting up little outposts of the kingdom of heaven. And he planted churches all over the known world, and he wrote letters to them. And one particular city, the ancient Roman city of Colossae, he wrote the letter we call Colossians to. And today we're going to be looking at Colossians 3. And I wish we had time to go over the whole thing. There's so many good things in it. But he starts off talking about the kind of clothes the Christian should not wear. Clothes that don't fit in the kingdom. But then he gets into the clothes we are meant to wear. The outfit that Christians are meant to wear. And he builds out this wardrobe analogy. And that's where I want to jump in. Colossians 3:12, he starts off with this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with. And anytime you see a therefore, you have to ask yourself, what's it there for? This therefore is saying because we are chosen, holy, which just means set apart and special, and loved, clothe. Clothe is the verb he uses, which just really means to put on, to cover yourself with, to change into. But he's about to spell out the kingdom clothes, but take note of the setup. He's not saying to be chosen, to be holy, to be loved, do something. He's not about to give us homework to be accepted by God, to be loved by God, to be chosen by God. No, And this is the number one thing that I think we're tempted to get wrong when it comes to our lifestyle or our behavior, is that we're tempted to think that we have to achieve something. We have to live in a certain way to become chosen, to become loved. But that's the opposite of what Jesus and Paul taught. No, what he's about to tell us to do is a reaction to how we're already seen. And this is the Christian life. We're not earning our way to heaven. We are inspired to live a better life in light of how we're already seen, chosen, loved, holy. So in light of that setup, here come the kingdom clothes. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The dress code, the ensemble, the outfit of the Jesus follower. I want to take the next few minutes to kind of break down each of these words. And this isn't just going to be Dane's opinions on each word, by the way. I went back to the original Greek writing of each one of these words. And I really wanted to get down to the essence of what was Paul trying to say with each of these words. And so first up, he says compassion. This is deep care for someone else. This is a caring response. This is the opposite of, well, dang, bro, or girl, I can't imagine, or texting someone, praying without actually feeling any of those things on behalf of the other person. See, this word compassion is actually a much older word than empathy. It comes from the 14th century. It's a combo of the Latin cum and pati, and it just means to suffer, to bear. We bear someone else's emotions when we engage in compassion. Our emotions take a hit when we engage in compassion. And this is an uncomfortable thing to do, but this is what a kingdom person does. They feel for someone else. So compassion, that's the first piece of the kingdom outfit. Next up is kindness. Kindness is an eagerness to help. It's an eager helpfulness. This is the opposite of, geez, good luck with that. No, kindness is not just, oh, they're nice. This is like, no, they're helpful. Like, being around them makes my life better and easier. This is like one surefire way to spot a kingdom person. Like, you can pick out this piece of outfit from a mile away. It's like a cowboy hat. It's like, there's a cowboy, there's a kingdom person. They are so kind. They are so helpful. You can spot that. It is obvious. They're not just nice. They're not just morally good, but they help other people. That's what makes them kind. Next up is humility. This is a healthy understanding of our standing with God. This is the opposite of Ron Burgundy. I'm kind of a big deal. But seriously, biblically, it's a healthy understanding of who we are in relationship to God and not getting those things backward. And God sees us as infinitely valuable. This isn't being ignorant of our gifts or talents, but it's understanding where they come from. It's understanding that we didn't even choose to be born. We didn't even give ourselves life. That, you know, we have a job and a house or whatever, but like God gave us those things and he invented those things. And we should be grateful that he gave us those things, not thinking we're our own source. God is our source. That's a healthy humility. And this is a really important piece of the kingdom outfit, because when we don't have humility, it leaks out into relationships. It becomes abrasive to other people when we lack healthy humility, a healthy understanding that God is God and we are not. That's humility. Next up is gentleness. And I think a lot of us are tempted to resist this one, but this is not weakness. This is the opposite of being overly aggressive or throwing our weight around. Quick story about throwing our weight around. So one time me and my dad were at the beach and we're fishing. And all of a sudden, a boat pulls up right in front of us, and they anchor and start to fish. And we're like, there is miles of coastline. And we're like, hey, could you, like, move 100 feet that way, or, like, 100 feet that way, or, like, a mile that way, or, like, a mile that way? It's like, you have the whole coastline, and we're kind of stuck here, and we were here first, so, like, we have some space. And they're like, uh-uh. And we're like, okay. And so to prove a point about how much sense this doesn't make, my dad casts near the boat. Now, this is important. We're using these quarter pound weights that are shaped like a pyramid. It's basically a pointed projectile. And my dad's goal was to cast near the boat to prove a point, but he accidentally cast it at their head. And this missile just zooms 3 inches past this guy's head and almost takes his head off. And he was understandably upset, and we almost got into a beach fight. But there's a healthy reminder for you to not throw your weight around. A little gentleness would have helped in that situation. But this is not the opposite of strength. See, Jesus was the strongest person who's ever lived, and he was extremely gentle as well. He was strong in a way that wasn't unloving toward other people. He wasn't overly aggressive about it. We can be simultaneously strong and simultaneously gentle, what other places in the Bible would call meek or mild. We need to look to Jesus to figure out how to get that right. Last up, ironically, is patience. Patience. This is going at someone else's pace for their sake. This is the opposite of, no, we need to talk right now about it. It's the opposite of that. One of my mentors realized my lack of gifting in this department and told me I need to have a longer fuse. A long fuse is a really good definition of patience. One time me and my wife started to get into an argument, and she suggested that we take a few minutes to like cool off. And I'm like, no, we need to talk right now, like when we're our least mature, when we're gonna say the most things we regret. No, of course she was right. We need to take some time to cool off. And a few minutes later, I'm like, hey, you ready to talk now? And she's like, no. And then we're driving to Planet Fitness. I'm like, you ready to talk now? And she's like, no. And then we're at Planet Fitness. I'm like, and she's like, mm-mm. And then we get back home and I'm like, do you want to talk now? And she's like, I need to take a bath. And I'm like, my eyes twitching at this point. But later, 3 hours after we had decided to cool off, we eventually picked it back up. And it went 10 times better than it would have otherwise. No surprise. My wife is so much better at patience than me. So as we look at this list, the kingdom clothes, Paul's introduction to the kingdom clothes, it's not a flashy outfit. It's not concerned with being noticed or being right or proving others wrong. It's a simple, quiet, but powerful way of life. That's how Paul introduces the kingdom clothes. But then he does what he does so well, and next, he applies it to a real life relatable scenario. Here's what he says up next in Colossians 3:13. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. He's saying when you have a grievance against someone, when someone else wrongs you, don't change out of the kingdom clothes. In fact, this is the most important time to wear the kingdom clothes. When someone has wronged you. That's the question, right? Anyone can wear the kingdom clothes when it's easy, but are you going to wear the kingdom clothes when it's difficult? Are you going to change your character or qualities about yourself when someone is really difficult to wear the kingdom clothes with? See, this is when kingdom people shine. This is when they stick out, is when they can keep wearing the kingdom clothes even when they're dealing with the most difficult people in the most difficult situations. But this is kind of one of those easier said than done things, right? It's like, Paul, that sounds good, but man, that's like, how do I do that? Well, next up is what I think is the best part of Paul's whole run. He's going to give us one last piece of the outfit that ties the whole outfit together, but also gives us the motivation, the ability to keep wearing the kingdom clothes even when someone is really difficult, even in the most difficult situations. He closes out his wardrobe analogy with this, my favorite part. He says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love makes it all work. Love's like a onesie. It's an outfit all by itself. But really, if we just cover ourselves with love, we are fully dressed in the kingdom clothes. If we put on love, I mean, all the kindness, the compassion, the humility, the gentleness, the patience, it all comes along with it. They're all sub-traits, sub-qualities under the love umbrella. Love, the verb, choosing to love someone, even when it's difficult, gives us the ability to summon the compassion, the kindness, the humility, the gentleness, and the patience. Love is in the greatest commandment that Jesus gave. He told us to love others as he loved us. And as Christians, that's our entire moral code. If we're doing anything unloving, we need to reevaluate. We put on love and we are fully dressed in the kingdom clothes. And it gives us the ability, the motivation to keep using these clothes, even when it's difficult. And so let's add love to the list. Here are the kingdom clothes. But really, it's this. Love working itself out as compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is the kingdom outfit. This is the lifestyle. This is the style. This is what makes Christians attractive, magnetic, fun to be around. This is what brings the kingdom of heaven to earth in our interactions with other people. This is life that's better for us and the people around us. This is more of the world the way we wish it was. When I think of the kingdom clothes, there's a few people who come to mind for me. I think of my mom, who she's always been so much more concerned with her kids, how to make their life better, than how it affects her. She thinks about other people so much and herself so little. I think of her humility. I think of my dad and his eagerness, not just to coach dozens of teams that I was on, but to intentionally pick out the one kid who he knew didn't have a male role model and bring him in close. And they still talk to him decades later. I think of his kindness. I think of my wife, Emmy, who you talk to her, and it's like you're the only thing in the world that exists. How she will just sit with our one-year-old daughter and just enter her world for hours, not even thinking about another thing she could be doing. Man, I think about Emmy's patience. These are my heroes. These are the people that naturally wear some of the kingdom clothes that I want to wear too. And when we put on these kingdom clothes, what happens is exactly what Jamie talked about last week. We start to set up our own little outpost of the kingdom of heaven. An outpost of the kingdom of heaven that bleeds into the lives of our children, of our family, that bleeds into the lives of our friends and our community. And we talk about love where we live here at East Cobb Church. Think about this. If we all love, put on love that binds them all together in perfect unity, and we love where we live, it is like setting up a giant outpost of the kingdom of heaven, bringing the kingdom of heaven to East Cobb. Man, and it's like for all of us, no matter what we believe, I think there's something in us that knows that this world is broken. We get frustrated at what we see around us, and think about how odd that is. This is the only world we've ever known, but yet we know something's wrong with it. And I think it's because there's something deep down in our DNA, in our soul, that knows we were made for a different world, that knows we were made for the kingdom of God. But every time someone decides to walk out the door in the morning wearing the kingdom clothes, they are part of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth more and more and more. And if you're in the room and you're a skeptic or you're not a Christian, I know there's days where us Christians don't wear these kingdom clothes well, myself included. But I just want to say, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what's supposed to identify a Christian. This is the way it's supposed to look. Hold us accountable to that, but also feel free to try it on too. Maybe this outfit is try before you buy. Maybe this outfit's a rental. But there's no cost to just putting these on for a day. And I think if you do, I think you'll start to see why we believe in this thing in the first place. I think you'll start to see why people follow Jesus. It makes our life better and it makes life better for the people around us. Feel free to try on the kingdom clothes. But for all of us, I would love to just end with one last uncomfortable question. Are we actually wearing these? Or are there days where apathy, impatience, aggressiveness, arrogance are the clothes we unconsciously put on? I know for me that patience one, it's gathering some dust in the back of the closet. I need to remember to get it out and dust it off and put it on every day. But for all of us, maybe this is the time to do a little bit of a self-inventory or maybe a 360 evaluation. Are we actually wearing these? Maybe we think we're being humble, but other people notice how much we talk about ourselves. Maybe we're holding on to a grudge that is slowly eating at us, and we need to choose forgiveness. Maybe in this season of politics and arguments and opposing ideologies, there's just like a group of people that we have lost compassion for because we think so differently than them. Which one's missing? Which one's missing for us? Maybe as we read through Paul's words, there was one that automatically came to mind for you. Or maybe if you don't know yet, you need to be brave enough, courageous enough to show someone this list and say, which piece of this outfit do I miss the most? Which piece of the outfit do I need more? We could be courageous enough to do that. And when we decide to put this on, maybe we even do this in the morning while we get dressed as a daily reminder to put on the kingdom clothes. When we ask God to put these on for us, We won't just make our life better. We won't just impact the world more. We won't just give Christianity the reputation it deserves, but we will live like kingdom people. We will live like citizens of the kingdom of God. More of the world the way we wish it was, life that's better for us and the people around us, and we will bring the kingdom of heaven to earth every day of our lives. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for these instructions. You could have expected us to figure it out on our own, but you sent Paul and inspired him to write these words that should serve as a reminder to us to put on these traits, these qualities every day of our lives, these outworkings of love that make life better for us and the people around us. Thank you that you don't just have a kingdom of heaven that's off and removed and distant, but you ushered in the arrival of the kingdom of heaven through your son, Jesus. And that through him, in a relationship with him, we can actually participate in bringing it to earth. So for me and all the people here, give us the courage, first of all, to figure out what piece of the outfit we're missing the most. But give us the ability through your Holy Spirit to put on that outfit every single day of our lives. Because when we do, we're going to look more like Jesus. And we're going to make this world a lot more like it should be. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.